Air with Dr. Pat Allen, empowered communication, right here on LA Talk Radio.
Good evening, and thank you for joining us tonight on LA Talk Radio, Empowered Communication Radio Show. My name is Sue Wagner, Dr. Pat Allen's daughter, and the director of the Dr. Pat Allen Want Institute. We're so fortunate tonight to have myself and Patricia Eltage available to answer your relationship questions. The call-in number for the show is 323-203-0815. When you call the number, Sam at the switchboard sees your number and will call you back to be connected to the show. Please make sure you pick up the call back and enter this number in your phone contact list to avoid going to spam. Before we take your questions, I want to tell you about our sponsor, the Want Institute. The Want Institute currently offers instruction on principles of communication with personal integrity to help individuals to achieve goals as well as to enrich their personal and professional relationships and to create a win-win situation in every one of their day-to-day activities. The Institute was founded to promote and teach these skills and the goal of helping people to live authentic, successful lives using the technique of Want Training as developed by Dr. Pat Allen. If you want more information regarding the Want Institute services, you can call me at 949-723-0338, or you can send me an email at info@drpatallen.com, info@drpatallen.com. Tonight we have Patricia Elton. She's one of the associate coaches with the Want Institute. Patricia, are you available?
I'm here, ready and waiting. Hopefully we will get our callers calling in and get down to business.
I do have a couple of email questions came in. If people out there listening are not available during this time zone, you can email me at the office and I'd be glad to share your question. We'll answer it and then you can listen to it in the archives either later tonight or tomorrow when it's put up on the archives of the LA Talk Radio. I have a caller. The call-in number, if you want to call, we prefer call-ins, again, is 323-203-0815. So I got a call from a caller who's been dating a gentleman for about 2 months. They've been exclusive, and he suddenly is kind of ghosting her, and he's looking at getting a new job promotion, and she's kind of like worried whether he's breaking up with her or not. And then he did text her after about 2 weeks of kind of ignoring her. He texted her and said, sorry that I've been avoidant. I'm looking for a new job and it's been very stressful. You deserve more. And I just want to let you know why I haven't been reaching out. What would you tell this person so we can give her some guidance?
Well, first of all, men should and do always put their work situation first. And that's normal because men are goal-oriented and they're money-making oriented. Not that women aren't in some way, but men are wired that way to succeed and earn money, provide, protect, and all these things. So if he was focused, and the fact they're single focused predominantly, as long as they're a right-handed man, that's a whole nother thing. Right-handed men are single focused. And when they're on a mission, like at the caveman days, they went out and hunted the animal, brought it back, and that was their job. Now here, we're talking about modern times where the man is out there hunting a job or trying to get a new job situation, and he was lax about paying attention to his girlfriend. It sounds like a girlfriend at this time.
Yes, they're exclusive. Mm-hmm. Yeah, they've been
exclusive. And yes, that deserves a conversation. Now, this is Dr. Pat's term, mutate, don't eliminate. It's worth a conversation and appreciate that he came to you to say, I feel badly about neglecting you. And then you have a conversation about that very situation. What do you think the job will do? And I'm here for you to discuss it if you think we will have a future together. So rather than just bombing it all together on either part, the man's part or the woman's part, we have conversations. This is communication. This is what we do here, teaching communication skills. And Sue, you know what the communication tool would be in this case. What would you tell her?
She had reached out before, mm-hmm. Before this next one. And I said, you know what, just kill him with kindness and say you understand and you're available to talk. And so I guess they're going to talk it out. She just wanted to make sure she's a little scared about whether he's terminating it or whether she, you know, she's kind of jumping ahead on what if.
Exactly.
Just mm-hmm. communicate. Thank you for sharing. Always stroke mm-hmm. and mm-hmm. then make a contract. And her contract, mm-hmm. I told her, was let's talk about this so we can be clarified. Mm-hmm. whether we should move forward or where our relationship stands.
There you go.
And mm-hmm. so I'm hoping that she'll reach back out so we can get a resolution on what finally happened. And she said she's okay either way because mm-hmm. She knows he has his career to mm-hmm. go in. And, she mm-hmm. has her career, so maybe it won't be the right time for either one. And what I do like about this is don't be mad when people disappoint you. He's not leading you on. Is that sometimes we have to cause other people pain in order to take care of ourselves. And sometimes women think they feel rejected. So then that starts the man-hating trend, which mm-hmm. only carries on to the next guy and the next mm-hmm. guy. Be done with that guy so you don't carry that wound of being, mm-hmm. not that she's being dumped. It's just now they're incompatible. If he has to move to a different city or something, they're incompatible.
Or not, but we don't know that. We can't mind read. We don't want mind reading. So when these women start imagining the worst, they're doing themselves a disservice, not only themselves, but the relationship. Yes. So if they're in a relationship, it's worth really finding out what's the importance, the most important part? And if the man says he has to take this job and it takes him somewhere else that takes him away. Listen, I worked with people before where the husband had to go to the army and deal with those things. And the new wife said, I'll wait, I'll be here. And but they talked it out. They knew up front that would happen, but it's a discussion and they had longer term goals that they talked it out and that would be okay.
Yeah. And you know what? You have to, the biggest thing is to communicate. Yeah. Communicate regularly so you can keep track on where your goals are and where you stand so that one person's not feeling rejected or neglected. Mm-hmm. It kind of keeps the relationship intact. So one person is not in charge of making the other one feel better. You know, mm-hmm. everybody has a responsibility in the relationship. One person does not carry it. It takes two people to carry it. I get too many women that want the men to take care of the whole relationship. He didn't call me. He didn't send me flowers. He knows what I want, blah, blah, blah. No, ladies, men don't know. They're not mind readers. We have to keep them updated on what feels good. And stroke them on what would make us feel good. That's going to go on consistently. Wouldn't you say that, Patricia?
Absolutely. And I will quote a wonderful pledge from Dr. Pat Allen.
Okay.
And that is, I promise on my honor, I will never mate or marry a finite, fallible human being. Instead, I will commit to the relationship I want to have with a finite, fallible human being, and I will do my part to make it work and hope to God they do theirs. That's all you can do.
That is all you can do. I would say the breakdown in a lot of relationships is you might have chemistry. And that's when you move to the next state of getting to know each other. You have to have compatibility. If one person wants kids and the other person doesn't, that's going to kind of be a deal breaker because if one gives in, They may be regretful. Each person has to have their wants and not wants and deal breakers or compatibility. And that seems to be a big thing where one person wants the other to give in too much, which brings us to the next question I have on my list of rosters.
Okay, good.
Online dating, the dating world. There's
it's a jungle out there.
It's a jungle out there. And this lady was getting to know somebody and she went on a couple of dates, and through it, she's listening with her ears and hearing the deal. And apparently this gentleman was talking a lot about his sexual appetite, which seemed to be rather large.
What's the age group here?
They're over 60.
Over 60. Oh, with a large appetite, sex appetite.
So it's they've had kids, so they're back into the date. The lady's going out and she's listening for the deal, falling in love with her ears, and sees the nice, pretty object. So he starts talking a lot about how sex is important. He wants, I guess she presented it as in order to be in love, you have to have sex. And then he's saying he has a high sexual appetite, 5 to 6, possibly sometimes every night.
Ooh, in the 60s.
That's what he requires from his woman, because his he's a widower. His past wife did that. So of 30 years. So the woman. So the woman is scary and she's telling him her fears that it's not comfortable. But this man is pursuing her, telling her that she's wrong and she can't fall in love, and making her the problem instead of hearing her feelings. So I told her, so she wants to know, is it about her? Should she give in to the man even though it's not comfortable, and she sees that it could be a compatibility issue?
It's not even a comfort love. This is what she doesn't want. She's over 60. She doesn't have she doesn't even have to explain herself and just say, that's too much sex for me at my age. And that's not what I want. So here we are already at the early negotiating stage of sex. And I think this is a wonderful situation from what you tell me, that they haven't had sex yet. And they haven't they just started dating, and they're negotiating what works for each of them. So right off the bat, this is how many dates? One or two or three?
Three dates.
And I think this is a wonderful situation because they're already finding out their lack of compatibility in a very important area.
And so her next question is, because she's been out of the dating field, she's for fear of being intimidated with guilt.
There's no guilt. There's something wrong with her,
and she's
darling,
broken.
No, not at all. Because this is the United States of America. Women have been liberated here for a very long time. So women can do what's right for their own bodies. We are in charge of our bodies and what we like and don't like with our bodies. This is not Iran. So I'm just telling you that a woman can choose what she wants to do with her body in the United States of America. And I'm not talking about abortions on this thing.
Yeah.
This is just about whether she wants to have sex or not. Now, I'm glad that they're having this discussion before they actually started having sex, because now they can find out that they're not compatible and it's not going to be.
Which comes to the next thing about Dr. Allen has the relationship contract item sheet, which goes over time, space, money, and play, which is
that's
part of sex. Patricia does that for couples counseling. Whenever you get into a relationship headed towards marriage, it will not just flow. Somebody will expect somebody to do the dishes, do the laundry. You have to negotiate, where you're going to live, who's paying the bills, the chores, private property, and how often you're going to have sex, and when you're going to play or not play, because people they think things will just float. You negotiate it. And then you update the negotiation every 3 months for a year till you find what works. People, you know, the woman doesn't always have to cook the meals, do the shopping, laundry, and all that. It can be negotiated on whose responsibility it is. And Patricia does that private counseling for couples mm-hmm. that are getting married or mating or moving in. Mm-hmm. I highly recommend, please get that done so you don't go in and expecting, so everybody's
Let me just say something here.
What?
The road to hell is paved with expectations.
Oh, yeah. Somebody gets in and, you know, it's like, Well, that's your job. You need to do the laundry every week. Oh. He didn't know she was signing up for that.
Let me give a plug to the book here. Getting to I Do, Dr. Pat Allen's book. That it talks about this in chapter 14 for yes. those of you. And this is a fabulous reference book. Everyone should have this book on their bookshelf and use it continually as a reference book. Some people have it for years and years and years. Mark it up, highlight it. It's also yes. on Audible right now.
Yes, it is on Amazon. And please let me remind you, ladies, if you're with a man and you pull out that book and you want to talk to him about time, space, money, and play, and he says, no, we don't need that, that's your doormat training.
That's right. You do need it. Everyone needs it. And it's good for them, too, not just the women, because everybody then has an understanding of who does what and when and what you're comfortable doing. Some people are much more social oriented than others. I have more introverts who marry extroverts, and they want to go out, and one of the couple wants to go out socializing all the time, and the other one doesn't like it so much. So you negotiate having how many times a week we go out with other people, and how many times is it just us? How often do we do things with family? That can always yes. be a tricky one, yes. dealing
and
with family issues.
They whittle mm-hmm. it down. And then speaking of the sex part, you negotiate. The woman can say, I'm comfortable doing sex twice a week. Some women don't give sex for months. So yeah. if she makes an agreement that she will honor her commitment, then at least he knows he's going to get sex twice a week, maybe more if she wants it. But it's negotiated, so he
negotiated,
won't go
into unless there's an issue
and get cut off because they didn't go over it first.
Yeah. Now, there's another woman who calls in periodically and emails in, and she has a highly sexed husband. That she didn't realize that it was that much when they got into it. But nevertheless, she has urinary tract and vaginal infections, and he wants the sex anyway, and it's against doctor's orders. Oh, we have a caller, I think.
Oh, caller, you're on the air with Patricia and Sue. Do you have a question?
I do. Hello, Patricia. This is Kelly.
Hi.
This is Sue. Patricia
and Sue.
And
Kelly. Hi.
No, yes. Kelly's not on today.
No, this is Kelly calling.
Oh,
Kelly.
Oh, okay. Oh.
Yeah. Sorry. Patricia knows me. Mm-hmm. My name is Kelly. I'm calling. Mm-hmm. Patricia knows my situation. Unfortunately, I don't have an update on this guy, but I'm interested mm-hmm. in Sue's take and just to kind of continue that, if I may.
Mm-hmm.
So I have a 45-year-old guy who, a little bit of background, we met on a dating app. He works in cybersecurity. He is never married. He grew up with a mom who abandoned him and a dad who is a lifelong alcoholic and drug user.
Okay.
So we went on a first date, and by the third date, after some conversations about feeling like we've never felt this way before, feels like a soulmate kind of thing, he asked for exclusivity, and so we became monogamous, exclusive,
yeah.
marriage, et cetera.
Okay.
But without sex. You're not talking about not having sex.
Correct.
Okay.
So I stayed at his apartment on Saturday night. We fooled around, but there was no intercourse. I set that boundary with him.
Okay.
He expressed that not only was he okay with it, he actually liked it and would be very supportive of it.
Okay.
And so that was Saturday. On Sunday, I went home and he texted me a couple of long texts about how excited he was about how quickly we were progressing and all these, you know, how I was on a pedestal to him.
Yeah.
And he wanted to just
love
me forever and all these things.
I know where this is going. Okay.
And so I kind of responded. I was really tired at that point and frankly, just like, you know, feeling like it was a lot. And so I said, thank you so much. Same. It wasn't as lengthy though. And so he got kind of short with me and then he asked for a phone call that night. And I said, I would love to speak with you. I'm honestly exhausted and feeling a little bit overwhelmed about everything. And he just said, okay, good night. We talked the next day and just kind of checked in and he expressed that he was a little short with me because he sensed I was pushing away. And so he did the same. And then he expressed that he had two concerns. One, that I seemed not very trusting of him, and he questioned when that would be done. I did ask him for a background check on the day after he asked me for exclusivity because he did express he was a hacker, and on our first date, he knew pretty much
all about me. Okay.
So that was a concern for him. I told him that's totally valid. I'm not looking for issues. I'm going to take it one day at a time, but please let me know if you're continuing to feel that way. His second issue was that he expressed that nothing he said changed. However, he had thought about how he's always given to the other person in the relationship of the other person first. And when he asks himself what he needs in this relationship, he actually cannot go without sex. And so I basically, after that conversation, said, well, it sounds like you're ending this relationship. Is that right? And he said, yes. He called me a few hours later when I was out with a friend and I texted him back. He called me twice and texted me, I'm sorry, can we talk? And I texted him maybe 20 minutes later saying, sorry, Mr. Call, I'm not feeling ready to talk at the moment.
Okay. Again, I'm just letting you know how many times you pushed him off that he wasn't important.
Yeah. That's
three
what
times.
Patricia said when I talked to her the
three
next
times.
Day.
And and what I'm hearing is, dear, he already has abandonment issues. So you are fueling his fear of abandonment because you're ignoring him. He's your chosen leader. And you're saying, I'll get to you when I'm ready. You're second on my list of importance.
Well, yes, that absolutely. And Patricia said the same thing. And I'm grateful for that message. And how am I supposed to feel when I am a little short with you one time and you end the whole relationship? Like,
dear,
talk about abandonment.
Dear, you started it from the first day when he spilled his guts. And you said, I'm too tired to talk to you. You disrespected him. Right then, you could pick up the phone and at least acknowledge verbally and listen to briefly. You were short with him.
That was a verbal castration.
We really, when men do something good, we overpraise them. You just did a small thank you. If you want good behavior, we have to give back rewards. You gave him just the smallest reward that was acceptable.
Crumbs.
And then he wanted to talk and you gave him another push. Nah, something inside what I'm testing is you're guarded on men. That you want men to jump over a wall. And this man jumped over a wall, but he didn't do it high enough. And you want it to be your way. It's now becoming, what about me?
Man to man.
What about me? If you want to be married, I tell my girls, if you want to be married, it takes 5 seconds to answer a text and say, thank you so much. And it takes 5 minutes to do a phone call. Fake it till you make it.
Well, like Miss Patricia said, I got my lesson whether he comes back or not. He hasn't come back.
Did I answer the same as I could hear it coming up
exactly
the story? I knew
the
exactly
same.
When I heard he spilled his guts and you pushed him away. Where it was going.
She didn't just push him away, she chopped his balls off.
Yeah, twice. I think
twice.
Three times even.
Mm-hmm. Chopped the first one off and then she went for the second one. So what I want to get to with you, Kelly, is I want to get to some deeper work with you so you can get what you want out of life. That's what I want to get to. We have to do some deeper stuff to why you have your fears of intimacy and your abandonment issues.
Yes.
That's your stuff. And this is the quote you're going to, will you please, Kelly, follow me in this pledge? I promise on my honor.
I promise on my honor.
Never will I mate or marry a finite, fallible human being.
Never will I mate or marry a finite, fallible human being.
Instead, I will commit to the relationship I want to have with a finite, fallible human being.
Instead, I will commit to the relationship I want to have with a finite, fallible human being.
And I will do my part to make it work and hope to God they do theirs.
I will do my part to make it work and hope to God they do theirs.
There you go.
And as
I
far
am,
as, the sex goes, you know, you're not having sex now, but that was never going to be forever. When he said he
has
a high
kind of my
heart.
Thing, like, what am I supposed to do? Be like, okay, don't leave me. I'll have sex
now. What you do is you make an amends. You know, maybe Patricia will help you go through about making an amends for your bad behavior and see if you can clean it up. But basically, you've got to learn to respect your chosen man. You tried to trump him too many times and put him in the feminine place.
Yeah.
You wanted him to be patient and passive and available.
Well, what if when he does call me back, he says, I'm just calling to tell you I'm not interested.
Patricia, you one coach. So whatever you go forward, you have to take one because I don't do two. You know, you follow one. Patricia's guiding you. She'll help you either do the high buy or reach out or something. She can give you guidance on maybe reaching out to make an amends and see what happens.
Got that, Kelly?
Well, yeah, well, I did reach out and I did the amends.
I did give her an amends.
Oh, okay. Guess what? He's got 8 weeks.
He's got eight weeks to respond to that.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
And when he does, we answered like nothing happened. You don't say, well, it's about time, or you don't combat him when he calls.
There's no, you can't be punitive. You cannot go into punishment mode. It act as if it was 5 minutes, even if it's 5 days or 5 weeks.
And even if he calls you at midnight, you pick that phone up. If you're with your girlfriends, you take the call. You do not put him on side burner.
Okay. All right. I'll do it.
All right.
Thank you for calling. Time?
Well, did you duty dating? You can go at daytime for now. You don't know if this is officially gone or not.
Yeah, don't act prematurely because sometimes they test you to see if you do go jump out.
This is called mutate. Don't eliminate.
Yeah. Don't be mad and then punish him like I'm going to show you other guys will want me. A lot of women think that. Backfires too.
Don't retaliate. That's right. It sure does.
Yeah, thank you both.
That retaliates too.
Sit tight, be patient, passive, and receptive if he calls.
And available.
Yes, ma'am. Thank you both.
Okay, thank you.
Bye-bye.
See how these gals just want to cut their balls off?
It's I knew it was coming from the first time when I heard the abandonment issue. Mm-hmm. And she said, I don't want to talk right now, Paul.
And then she just went for his issue. She went for his issue. She knew his weak spot and she threw a dagger in it.
Yeah, she did. Yeah. Abandonment. Mm-hmm. And maybe she's got control issues where she, you know, we don't always something happen. He, you know, she's treating him like her dad. You know, daddy issues, so she's got to punish him. So, yeah, we all do stuff subconsciously that we're not aware of. It just comes out. That's why it's very important to, if you want to do the work. I offer monthly ladies groups drop in, and Patricia does privates, and she has life scripts, which will help
get
you
down to your stuff.
What happened? So you cannot just
gloss over it.
You can't read a book and then do the work. You have to have somebody follow you, because you're always going to go to what's familiar and comfortable. You need somebody to flag you. Like, she wanted me to give a different example, but it was, it's like,
right.
they ask questions expecting a different answer. We both hear the same message. That's why we're in tune. The stuff works.
Yeah. So anyway, we'll see what happens with that one. But back to our patterns and doing life script work is how we can recreate our script, recreate our new patterns, instead of just continually behaving off of the patterns that were given to us.
Yes.
So that hopefully people can then rebuild their lives in a way that gets them what they want out of life.
Yeah, instead of going back to their old behavior and habits, which are self-sabotaging and do not give them a healthy, happy life, especially with relationships. So with that, I had another person a question. They're both in the AA program, and one's been in a little bit longer, and they were in a relationship, and then the gentleman needed to do more focus on his career and his AA. So he broke up with the girl because he couldn't, the girl said, this is from the girl. She said that he said she was too needy for him and he had to work on his own sobriety and career. So now she keeps wanting him back. And I suggested, to duty date and stuff. And now she's questioning, will he ever come back? And my question is, when two people are in the sobriety, she wanted me to ask, two people in sobriety, is that a healthy relationship, or is that one that really needs to navigate differently in the AA program?
Well, it can work well because they both know the program, and it depends on how, if somebody is new, it's harder for them if they're newly sober and they're just really trying to get a grasp. But it's often helpful that they're both on a program and with the understanding of it. So I commend them if they work together and they each have their own sponsors, or not just use each other. We don't recommend somebody using the other person as their therapist. They have their individual sponsors or their individual therapies, and they walk with each other in their sobriety.
Yeah, apparently the gentleman was saying that his concern about the relationship was that she needed too much comforting all the time.
Support. Well, it was that's codependency.
Yeah,
her issues sound like codependency, and he recognized it, and that's good that he recognized it, and he told her that so. Maybe it will help her go address her codependency issues. And there are programs for that too, 12-step programs for Codependence Anonymous. Sounds like one for her. And Adult Children of Alcoholics. Hello?
Oh, hi. You're on the air with Patricia and Sue. Do you have a question?
Hi.
Hello.
Hello.
Alexa, pause. Hello?
Yes.
Yeah, you're on the air. Do you have a question for us?
I do. Thank you for taking my call.
Uh-huh.
I've had a relationship, and it's ended over a year ago. But dating, I don't know what's wrong with me, because dating different men, I meet nice men, but I have no interest in going further with them in an intimate relationship. I just don't have it. Is that just something that happens, or
okay, what happens is sometimes your picker's off, and Dr. Allen talks about your picker only goes with the unavailable bad boys, and you're not attracted to the good, stable ones. So something may be wrong with your picker when you don't have chemistry. So she always says, go out with numerous men to desensitize, to hopefully change your picker. Or this could be a case where you go get a life script to find out why you're not attracted to men. Patricia, ask her why maybe she's not attracted to men in general.
I'd like to ask you, what is it that turns you off about these various ones?
Well, I think they're nice. I think they're treating me well, more so than the guy that I was with for long term. Mm-hmm. But then I just can't get intimate with them. I don't even like really kissing them.
How long ago was your last relationship ended?
Over a year ago. Mm-hmm. I haven't seen him.
And who ended it?
Both of us, kind of. It just wasn't really going anywhere, and then
it was mutual ending. Was it mutual?
Yeah, kind of. Yes.
Well, it could be that your body is still, in a way, married and bonded to that relationship. It can take up to 2 years to debond from someone you were in an intimate relationship with, even if it ended mutually. And no, but you had chemistry with the last person?
A lot, yeah.
Well, you had a lot of chemistry and you're not debonded yet. So did you end it cleanly?
No, not really. It was kind of a blame thing, you know.
So it was just an arguing kind of thing. It wasn't a clean breakup. It wasn't like we both agree this it's not going to work for us and let's move on.
Right. It was more like, what do you want from me? You want too much. And then I said something like, well, I think I ended it by saying, I can't have a good life. I'm done, or something. And so he took that. He said literally.
You ended pissed. You were pissed. Okay. So you weren't
pissed,
really.
Yeah.
You were pissed. You didn't know our communication tools, which I suggest you drop in on Sue's groups, which she'll give you more information about that, and get some communication tools on how to speak with men. But right now, I can tell that your body is still bonded to that person and you can't bond with somebody else. Your psyche isn't allowing you to, because you did not end your last relationship in a clean way.
And then can I also ask, were you cherished in that relationship, or did you have, was he the masculine and you the feminine? How did the dynamics work?
I think I was probably more masculine, in that relationship.
Mm-hmm. So I didn't
want to be, but I think he was just that type of man that, he kind of liked the attention. We're older and I kind of think he did like me to, cherish him.
And take the lead, or did you go head to head on who's the boss? Whose ideas were more important? Well, that's a problem when.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I think his were, but yet he didn't want to do anything I thought was important.
So you went head to head like two guys. See, when you're in a relationship and you haven't decided what position you want to be in and what position he wants to be in, you and people become narcissistic and they want all their thoughts respected and all their feelings cherished. And everybody is two narcissists fighting. When you're in your masculine mode, you're fighting like two rams butting heads. And when you're both in your feelings and whose feelings are more important than the other one, you're in a bitch fight. So it's never going to work unless you clearly decide, I want to be in this relation, in a relationship as a feminine person, or not, or do it the other way. But then you have to decide between you.
Yeah.
You can't just randomly just go in these narcissistic head-butting relationships.
And then what I'm hearing is, in general, when you're out dating, these seem to be nice masculine men. So you're turned off because you want to be in that position.
You want to be the boss.
You want to be the boss. So there's no win. There's got to be one masculine and one feminine. You're staying in your masculine. So the chemistry can't connect.
Energetically, it doesn't work.
You've got to shift into your feminine and listen to the deal they're going to offer you. And then they'll be attractive.
Okay. And what do you think about dating someone that's not divorced yet?
That's a slippery slope because you never know when they're getting. You can. Dr. Allen always says you can date them for lunch because that's safe. But when you make it a dinner one, that's an intimate date.
Okay. Because he said he's going through his divorce, but it's not final.
Divorces can take years, dear, and you don't want to be bonded to an ugly divorce.
Just don't have sex with him. Don't have sex with him. Continue to investigate this person. And I suggest that you get Dr. Allen's book, Getting to I Do. And the subtitle is How to Get into Healthy Relationships.
Yeah.
So
and
this is what you want to do.
If you want to reach out to the office at info@drpatallen.com, I'll send you a list. I have a bunch of drop-in ladies groups that are a $10 donation. They're on Monday, a couple of Monday nights, and on Thursdays, three times a day on Thursday. I help ladies walk the walk.
That sounds good. I think I need that.
Yes, you do. Yes, you do. And learn the tools, how to communicate with men so that you don't turn each other off.
Yeah. So.
Okay. Thank you for your advice.
For calling.
Thank you so much.
Yes. Yes.
All right. Bye bye.
Thank you. Yeah.
Well, that was a good one.
That's a good one. So yeah, you're right. It has a lot to do with your picker and stuff, and yeah.
And if you're not completely, if you're still bonded to another relationship, it's very difficult to get turned on by somebody else because there's this, the back of your mind and your subconscious, you're still comparing to the good feelings you had with the one that you liked, even if you blew him off out of being pissed.
Yeah, I know. So with that, we've got about maybe 10 more minutes to take questions. Was I still in a question before answering somebody's question before we got cut off, or were we finished? I don't know.
I think we were finished.
Oh, it was about the AA one.
The AA people. Yeah. Sure. Okay. Yeah. Yeah. Okay. Well, sounds like the one, the gal in this situation needs to investigate and get some books or go to a meeting or and explore her codependency issues.
Yeah. I suggested she go out and date to get happy, learn how to be happy herself without having him make her happy. She's got to learn happy individually, because then men will want to be around happy women.
Because we, everyone, men and women, have to become an I before you can become a we.
Yes.
You've got to be a solid I first.
You can't be in a relationship and expect him to be your one that makes you happy 24/7. You have to be happy with yourself. Then you share your happiness as a couple.
There you go.
That's a hard one. Everybody wants to get in a relationship to feel good. You know, relationships should enhance your life, not try.
Yes, they complement. They complement what you already have, and it's an added plus. So
So that's good. So do you have any call write-in questions? I do have one more write-in question.
Go ahead.
Mm-hmm. A lady who's been married for 20 some years, her husband is now wanting to write a novel, and also work. So he's not giving her enough time. So she's mad that he's now doing a double duty and can't spend time with her. Now, when I investigated more, she's been the masculine, the leader in the relationship. His mother was very controlling, so he probably married her. So now he's writing this book, and she wants pretty much either the book or her. What would you say? Because she's trying to tell him how to do it and bitch and moan to him. And I said, stop bitching and moaning. What would you suggest she does? Because she doesn't want to leave, but she wants him to stop doing that.
Oh, That is just awful. That is so castrating to hear
that. This time to be a man.
It's his chance to express himself and do something that he wants to do for himself. I say go join a ladies group, go to Pilates, go entertain yourself while he's writing. Please, ladies, get off these men's back.
That's true. So
go entertain yourself. There's all kinds of things you can do to occupy yourself with your girlfriends and the gym and yoga and hiking. Just let a man do his. And how old do you think they are?
Oh, they're over 60. They're 50.
Yeah, so
they're older. So
he's in his creative space now. This is a time where he wants to express his creativity.
Yeah. And she's always been the leader and the masculine, and now he's still getting castrated.
He wants to boss him around. Tell her to go get a dog and train it.
She's going on vacation. I said, go on vacation and have fun. And I said, don't call him up and bitch and moan. Let him check in with you. She wants to be feminine, but she's doing everything masculine.
Yeah, right. and doing it are doing different things.
Being feminine does not turn on like a light switch, ladies. It takes a lot of work.
And practice, and drop into those groups, because you'll hear the message over and over from the other people. You gain a lot from listening to other stories too.
So one more last question here from the ladies doing online dating, and the gentlemen usually call. These gentlemen are coming up across very abrupt and hard with these women, with this particular woman. She's getting afraid because they're coming on so strong, and everything she says, they're combating her.
They can come on strong.
She knows the tools. So
Oh, she does. Good. Okay.
She goes, I do my best, but they're just so overpowering.
Well, they're being men. And you know what? The most powerful word a woman has in the English language, or many languages, is the word no.
Yes.
So as long as you know what your personal boundaries are, you don't even have to get mad. You just have to say, oh, you have a right to ask for that. However, that doesn't work for me. No, thank you. You don't even have to get mad.
Yes.
Just know your personal boundaries and what works for you and what doesn't work for you.
That's true.
So, as simple as that. So,
keeping
that in mind, ladies.
We
have the power of no. We have the veto rights.
And unfortunately, the way there's a lot of women haters out there, and there's a lot of man haters, and don't take the bait. I always tell my ladies, when you feel that they're trying to bait you to turn that bitch into you, kill them with kindness. Don't take the bait.
And don't explain. You don't have to explain your answer.
Don't explain either.
You don't even have to have a reason. Just no, I don't think so. That doesn't feel good to me.
Yeah.
That's it. Simple as that. You don't have to give long explanations.
They can't fight.
They can't fight with your saying no.
Yeah.
That's it.
Yeah. So we're closing up here. We got a couple more minutes. Do you want to, Patricia does life scripts, and want to plug your book there.
I didn't mention my book. I also do very deep work with the subconscious through dreams. People call me from all over the world with their dreams. My book is called The Dream Class. The subtitle is Know Your Dreams, Know Yourself by me, Patricia Eltinge, Eltinge, found on Amazon. And, you really get some information that you are very surprised about when you start understanding your dreams.
Perfect. So we're going to let everybody go, and we'll be back next week. And we'll hope to, you can either email me your questions at info@drpatallen.com, or you can call us live next week. Want to thank you all for joining and calling in. And Patricia, do you want to say goodbye to the audience?
Yes, the only way you know you love yourself or anybody else is by the commitments you're willing to make and keep.
Thank you, everybody. See you next week.
You're listening to On the Air with Dr. Pat Allen, Empowered Communication, right here on LA Talk Radio.